diye.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we get back to our guests, I want to ask you something. Anybody out there want to work for the Paracast and our other show, the Tech Night Owl Live? Anyone? Well, we're looking for someone with the skills to sell radio ads and banner ads for the show on our sites. If you have that experience, and especially if you know how to work with social networks, if you have that wide range of experience, we want to talk to you further. You can write us, news@theparacast.com, news@theparacast.com. Please don't forget to send your resume, by the way, so we have a sense of your job experience, news@theparacast.com, news@theparacast.com. With Gene and Chris, with Gogs Mackay joining us as guest panelists, we have Robert Hastings. He is author of UFOs and Nukes, and his answers to the many questions are lengthy. And before we get on to more questions from our question bank at forum.thepowercast.com, Robert, do you want to expand on that response or move on?
I'll just quickly say that the other incident that I alluded to a moment ago at Ellsworth Air Force Base in 1978, the missile targeting technician said that a diamond-shaped UFO, a four-sided UFO, was hovering low over his site. He felt these waves of energy streaming down. And again, despite this very horrific or frightening spectacle, he did not feel frightened, and he went back down and tried to retarget the missile. So you have virtually identical accounts of what is very odd behavior. The guards are freaking out, and yet the targeting techs are cool, calm, and collected, and trying to restart the missile with a UFO hovering low over the sites. So that's kind of bizarre.
Well, I have a kind of a follow-up question to that, and this comes from my long association now with Ray Stanford. Ray, by the way, is real excited to tune in to listen to the show. He gave you quite a compliment. Ray is, to put it kindly, is quite the curmudgeon, and there's not many people in the field that he feels has any sort of relevance or credence, and you're one of them. And he's very excited that you're going to be on the show. And one of the things that Ray has kind of hinted around about and told me to always be aware of this is he calls it euphoria. There's some sort of ability for the human perception system, whatever that might be, from psychic to physical, that is oftentimes made aware of the presence of these objects prior to actually seeing them or being alerted to their actual presence. And he says it's kind of a euphoric sort of feeling that kind of overcomes you just before you actually have some sort of experience. And he thinks it may be some sort of physiological response to these objects. In all the 150, you've interviewed just dozens and dozens of people that have had experiences like this. Have you ever gotten a sense from any of them that they had a premonition or some sort of feeling beforehand prior to being alerted that there was something, some sort of incursion?
I am aware of cases not involving the missileers, the missile cases where people have reported that. It's in the literature, so I'm aware of that. I can't, off the top of my head, think of any report from any of my sources, all of these taped interviews, where that was presented to me or that claim was made. But there was the sense, you know, this inference of some sort of telepathic communication, or certainly whoever was in the UFOs had the ability to influence the mental processes of these two technicians I just mentioned and suppress their emotions like fear. That seemed to be quite clearly implied by these two individuals. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Bob Salas, and when he speaks publicly about his incident at Oscar, said that when he was down there trying to bring up the 10 missiles and, you know, waking up his commander, Fred Meiwald, and dealing with it, at some point Bob apparently had this sense all of a sudden that these were beings from somewhere else, and they were warning us not to use nukes. Now, again, how it's sort of ephemeral. It's sort of that's not the right word. It's sort of unprovable whether that was a real telepathic input in Mr. Salas's head or whether that was just a hunchy head or who knows what. But those reports do continue to occur. I'll try to shorten my answers. I do like to be very specific and detailed and not just give off-the-cuff answers, but I know you've got lots of questions, so I'll try to be a little less wordy here.
Hey, Robert, this is Gogs. I'll come in here with a quick point. Do you know of any reports, really, of any associated high strangeness with any of these cases? I'm taking it you're familiar with the term high strange.
Yes. No, go ahead.
No, that was the question, yeah. Do you know of any associated high strangeness with any of these cases you've researched?
Well, two things come to mind.
Well, the mouse from cattle mutilations.
Well, there you go. You read my mind. The first thing that comes to mind are the reports of mutilated cattle in both not only Malmstrom but the F.E. Warren missile field in the 1970s. In the fall of 75, there was something called the Northern Tier incursions. That's how they've been referred to historically, where there were a number of SAC, Strategic Air Command bases, where UFOs were interfering or at least near the nuclear missiles at Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana, and then at two nuclear bomber bases, Fort Smith in Michigan and Loring in Maine. And in the case of Montana, during that same time frame, there were something like 80 cases, I believe, of cattle mutilations within the Malmstrom missile field. And I've interviewed both the Cascade County Sheriff, Keith Wolverton, who was involved with those investigations, and also the former commander of Malmstrom Helicopter Squadron, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert Peiser, and both of them confirmed that the two of them had met together to try to put their heads together and figure out what was going on. So there are these mutilations associated with some of the UFO incursions at missile sites. The other thing that comes to mind is I have two independent reports from missile security guards. I'd have to look at my notes to remember which bases were involved. One was Malmstrom. I don't remember the other. Where they were out at a missile site, there was a tripped alarm, there was the inference of a UFO presence, but they didn't see UFOs, but they were on their way back to the base, and it took them a lot longer to get back to the base than it should have, and they were out of radio contact, so there was this inference of missing time, perhaps a close encounter like an abduction experience, that these two former missile cops, sky cops, missile security police told me about independently. So I would certainly consider that a high incidence of high strangeness.
We've also had security personnel vehicles shut down inexplicably and then power back up. That should probably be noted as well. You know, I really hate to get into this and give it any sort of attention, but I think it's important to look at some of the pushback and blowback pertaining to your work, and that is this James Carlson character and his dad, Eric. I do have a couple of questions relating to that at the forum.theparacast.com, but I would like to just get a sense from you. First of all, maybe give a quick overview of James Carlson's sort of vendetta. I mean, for the life of me, I don't know, you know, what the motivation is here, but perhaps you might address James and his dad Eric's problems with your work and give us a sense possibly of what the motivation could be, because your work is so well documented that it's really difficult to talk about the one or two people that have come out and said, well, this is all a bunch of BS and blah blah blah. Why don't you give us your thinking about James Carlson?
And I'll tell you, before we do that, we're going to have a break in a moment, and I'd rather give Robert a full segment to respond to this. It's a very complicated issue, as do any of these things end up or turn out to be. Listeners, on our next episode of the PowerCast, we will feature author and investigative reporter Leslie Kane, and also Robert Holt, who, as you have just heard, was a key figure in the Rendlesham UFO case. Questions open in the question bank at forum.thepowercast.com if you really want to participate. But today we're talking to Robert Hastings. He's author of UFOs and Nukes. Our guest panelist is Gogs Mackay with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here. Atlas Survival Shelters. Made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bombproof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at atlassurvivalshelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-B-U-N-K-E-R or atlassurvivalshelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Robert Hastings joining us with Gene, Chris, and Goggs. Before we broke, Robert, you were asked a question about someone who doesn't like you very much and has been sharply critical of your work. So maybe you can give our listeners a background and a response.
What is now known, either through witness testimony or documents, is that there were two full-flight what apparently were full flight, 10 missiles each, shut down incidents at Malmstrom Air Force Base. The incident at Echo Flight was on March 16th, 67. The Oscar flight I now have established was 8 days later. Three of the four, in each case, in each launch capsule, you have two missile launch officers controlling missiles. And so in combined the two cases, you have four missile launch officers. Three of the four have confirmed a UFO presence. I have them on tape. Bob Salas has them on tape. Some of those tapes are at my website. The one holdout officer who won't admit that there was any UFO involvement is James Carlson's father, Eric, who was the commander at the Echo Flight site. Despite taped conversations, 3 hours worth, at my website, where the deputy commander, now retired Colonel Walter Fiegel, confirms that he did indeed, despite what James Carlson claims to the contrary, Fiegel did receive a telephone call from a guard out at one of the Echo sites, in which he described a round object hovering directly over one of the sites. James has continually misrepresented that conversation. He's gone so far as to say that I've doctored the tapes. I'm offering, you know, any audio expert access to the tapes, and if there's any evidence of fraud, those persons can find it. These people have to be, you know, credible audio experts. I'm not, just not going to make this data available to Joe Blow. In any case, Colonel Fiegel has called James Carlson's statements, quote, off base. He's also said that James Carlson has, quote, an axe to grind. All of that's on tape. One can listen to it at my website in these conversations with that I had with Colonel Fiegel in 08, 09, and 2010. What is known about James Carlson is this. He has been diagnosed with epilepsy. His naval career was cut short. Because of that, he was medically discharged. I've done some reading online in which it's found or it's discussed online. In some cases, persons with epilepsy have reality-detached behavior. They're not well grounded in what we would all collectively call reality. Another characteristic described what in some of the articles I've read online are manic behavior. If you look at James Carlson's 2,000-word blog post with no breaks, no paragraph breaks, just a wall of words, just, you know, at hundreds of sites over the last 5 years, one could say that's manic behavior. So I don't know if James' problems, diagnosed problems, self-admitted brain condition, epileptic-related problems are the origin for his inability to grapple with the truth, the facts, or whether he's, you know, just an unethical person because he continually represents the witness's tape testimony. I don't know what the bottom line is. All I know is that if one looks at what he says, reads what he says, and then compares with what the witnesses actually say on tape, available at my website, you'll see it's day and night, and that Carlson misrepresents what the eyewitnesses said.
I think that kind of sums it up well. I had no idea that James Carlson had been discharged from the Navy because of medical conditions, as you described. That may go.
I read it on his own blog.
That goes a long way in my mind to maybe describe what is clearly manic behavior. Well, moving right along, you know, actually, Robert, as is quite a compliment to your work, that would be the only detractor that I have ever even heard about, let alone had any sort of information about. And that in this field, which is filled with infighting and detractors, that's to be as Teflon as you've been over the years is quite a testament to your meticulous documentation, and I want to be the first to congratulate you on such a fine job that you've done over the years and really dotting your I's and crossing your T's. And if that's the only logjam in the works, you know, I don't even think it should be there. But anyway, moving along. Another question we have here.
Before we move along, let me interject one other point here. First of all, I consider myself merely the messenger for these witnesses. These ex-military people are the people who deserve public praise. I'm just driven to do what I do. I can't explain why, but I'm trying to do as best a job, as good a job as possible. But I'm just the messenger for people who were involved in these incidents. Now, the other thing I'll quickly say is Carlson, you know, is unique in terms of the nature of his criticisms and the complete misrepresentation of taped audio evidence and all that. I mean, he's just totally out in left field. But there are debunkers, there are skeptics, and what I would like to quickly say is, the chief chief skeptic group used to be called PSYCOP. It's now called CSI. The late Philip Klass was its leading UFO debunker. James Oberg is another one. They publish a magazine called Skeptical Inquirer. The editor of that magazine is Kendrick Frazier. And some 25 years ago, when I went out on the lecture circuit, shortly after I went out, I began investigating why this group was so adamantly anti-UFO and misrepresenting the facts. And what I found was this: you know, all my material deals with nuclear weapons-related cases. What I found out pretty quickly was the editor, longtime editor of Skeptical Inquirer magazine, Kendrick Frazier, worked for over 20 years as a public relations specialist for Sandia National Labs, one of the leading nuclear labs in the U.S. You can look high and low, and you won't find that in that magazine. And yet that is a fact, and I published that fact in my book. James Oberg, who is a debunker of UFOs, claims publicly they don't exist. There's no cover-up. When a man named Dr. Bob Jacobs, leaked information about the so-called Big Sur case, the apparent shoot-down of a dummy nuclear warhead by a UFO that was all captured on film, according to Jacobs and another Air Force officer named Major Florence Mansman, James Oberg privately wrote to Jacobs and chastised him for releasing, quote, top secret UFO data is the exact phrase that appeared in Oberg's letter to Jacobs.
Wow.
Now, apparently, quite at variance to his public persona as a UFO debunker. Apparently Oberg thought that, he would be intimidated. Jacobs would, shrivel up and crawl back into a hole or something. Jacobs published portions of that letter and just exposed Oberg's duplicity. He also was written to by Philip Klass, who said quite intentionally, I can provide references, Dr. Jacobs, of my credibility as a UFO researcher. And he named as references Admiral Bobby Inman and General Daniel Graham, who have had various jobs with CIA and NSA over the years. So again, it was quite clearly an effort to attempt to intimidate Dr. Jacobs into silence after he broke the Big Sur UFO story. Jacobs, again, being Bob Jacobs, God bless him, he threw it back in their face and published Klass's letter, where he was citing as references, two of the top intelligence officers in the U.S. government after decades of denying that he was a government agent. So when you look behind the scenes, if you kind of lift the cover on this particular group of, quote, skeptics, you find all this BS going on. So quite clearly, these guys are more than they appear to be, more than they attempt to present themselves as.
Oh, we can't have too much of that. We have Robert Hastings joining us. He's author of UFOs and Nukes. There's so much more to come with Gene, Chris, and Goggs. You're in the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition. reputation by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Being prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words, disaster, stuff. Add .com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris and Gog's final two segments of the Paracast, the book under discussion is UFOs and Nukes, which you can get from Robert Hastings' site, www.ufohastings.com. There's a link to it at our site, at theparacast.com. Chris, loads of questions in the question bank. Would you proceed?
Robert, this is a really good question, and it's one that, you know, it makes a lot of sense. I've never actually thought about this, but perhaps you can shine some light on this particular subject. This comes from our longtime poster, Blowfish, at forum.theparacast.com, and it's the following. Robert, how many accounts of military aircraft have been seen, or military aircraft carrying nuclear weapons, do we have any sort of reports of UFO activity interested in those flights?
Let me devote about 30 seconds to following up on what Gene just said about my book. It is self-published. It is available at my website, ufohastings.com, $423.95, 600-page book. Now, scalpers buy it and resell it on Amazon for $85. So if you have deep pockets, go straight to Amazon. If you want to be sensible about this, go straight to my website and order the book. Your question related to UFO activity near military aircraft carrying nuclear weapons. I am aware of a handful of cases. I'm sure there are a great many more. However, one of them that has come to light was presented publicly by Barry Greenwood and Larry Fassett in their book, Clear Intent. It was really the first book devoted to nuclear weapons UFO activity. It was published, I believe, in 1981. Anyway, in Clear Intent, they cite Keith Wolverton, the then sheriff of Cascade County, describing information relating to a sighting of a B-52 coming in on a bomb run. There's a site northwest of Great Falls called Freeze Out Lake where they do simulated bomb runs. B-52s come in low and open their bomb bay doors and all that. And apparently a Fish and Game employee saw one of these maneuvers, and a small glowing globular-shaped object, a ball of light, came and suddenly attached itself to the aircraft momentarily and then raced away. And according to Keith Wolverton, contacts he had at the base said that the aircraft's radar went haywire when this object apparently attached itself to the bomber. I'm aware of a handful of other reports. I find it interesting, the missileers, the nuclear missile people, talk to me more often than not, whereas the bomber pilots or the B-52 crews just really don't want to have anything to do with me, and I'm not sure why that is, but they're very suspicious of my intentions. I get very few of them to open up about incidents involving UFO activity, you know, during B-52 sorties or whatever. There is recently, and I'm trying to get this person to go on the record, there was a report in MUFON about 2 years ago from a man who was a security policeman at Ramey Air Force Base in Puerto Rico during the Cuban Missile Crisis in October of 62, who said this disc-shaped object in sort of a cloud, a plasma cloud, appeared over the base, hovered over the B-52 alert area where the loaded, you know, nuclear weapons bombers were already poised for takeoff, hovered over the alert area, and then moved on to the U-2 spy plane hangar before moving away. Now, I've done some cursory checking. I think that story is legitimate, and so you would have another case involving UFO activity at a bomber base.
That's news to me, boy. That's very interesting. You know, these Montana cases keep coming back here, and of course, you know, I'm doing a book right now on the cattle mutilation phenomenon and actually humankind's relationship with cattle. And Montana does figure prominently in this. And, you know, thank you very much for reminding me to really dig extra deep in some of these cases. You've really kind of put a bee in my bonnet about this. You know, I think having attendant phenomena like cattle mutilation cases or reports, I should say more accurately, around Malmstrom and other bases where these potential incursions or you know, whatever you want to call them, flyovers and manipulation of electronic gear on missile sites. I mean, it just makes you wonder about agendas, and there's a number of questions on the forum here about, you know, what the possible agendas are. And one thing that's always struck me is if we're dealing with something that's extraterrestrial that's coming here and sort of, as you put it, wagging their finger at us, you know, that's one thing. But if we're dealing with something that may have been here as long as we have, I would think that nuclear weapons and the possibility of irradiating the planet would put them in jeopardy as well. What are your thoughts about some other tenant in the building possibly being interested in these sites and showing up? What is your thinking on that? I mean, are you an ETH guy? You don't really kind of mention, you know, extraterrestrials or the word alien. You're very conservative, I guess, in how you language a lot of these accounts and reports. What are your personal feelings? Well, do you think we're dealing with something off planet?
My personal opinion, based on having studied this for 40 years, is that these are ETs, beings from other worlds. There's anecdotal data I can find to discussing sightings by law enforcement personnel all over the world since 1954, who are out on patrol, come around a bend in the road, see a landed craft with little beings walking around it, or beings of one description or another. And if one, I mean, there are literally hundreds of cases of cops of all descriptions in worldwide reporting landed craft with little entities walking around them. If one considers, you know, that those cases have merit as opposed to being totally nonsensical, cops have everything to lose and nothing to gain by reporting something like that, and yet it's continually reported. What is described from case to case to case are a diversity of morphologies. You have 7-foot-tall beings, you have 3-foot-tall beings, you have human-looking beings, you have insect-looking beings. So, in my opinion, we have multiple races visiting this planet. How they get here, you know, what their overall plan is, who the heck knows. The other important thing, and I've got a whole chapter in my book devoted to what's called higher dimensional space, hyperspace, which has now gained a great deal of acceptance in physics, professional physics circles. There are over 100 peer-reviewed papers in scientific journals at the time my book came out in 08, where various physicists and mathematicians are discussing ways that faster than light travel can be achieved, whether it involves folding space, going through wormholes, whatever the theories are. For the first time in human history, 100 years into the Einstein era, where he said nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, over the last 20 years, that supposedly unshakable dictum is now being challenged by professional scientists and saying, you know, in their papers where they say, yeah, there are ways that conceivably one could travel faster than light. So if we assume these are ET visitors, one assumes that some of them are more advanced than us and figured out what we're just now cutting our teeth on probably 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,000,000 years ago. You know, if these are multiple races, they may or may not interact with each other. Some of them may just be slightly ahead of us. Let's say 100 years in technology, some could be 1,000,000 years ahead of us. So one has to take all that into account. There are also intriguing reports of hyperspace, for example, and other theories allow for multiple parallel dimensions other than our space-time universe. There are reports where seemingly the sky opens up, there's a hole, and then a craft emerges from it, suggesting almost like moving from one dimension to another. So in my view, that's what's going on. You know, who knows when this is going to be proven, you know, beyond any doubt for you know, all humankind to accept the fact that this is real and here and happening. But I think that's my assessment of it.
Well, it stated the way you just stated it, yes, I would agree that it does appear to be something off-planet. However, having, you know, recently written a book about the tricksterish nature of these sorts of things and how appearances often are deceiving, I think there is a possibility that we're being led to believe that we are dealing with something off-planet.
I'll tell you what, we are also led to believe that we have benefactors who want to talk about what they have to provide for us. We have Robert Hastings joining us with Gene, Chris, and Goggs. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
If you suffer seasonal or environmental allergies and your doctor has told you that the only answer is medications for the rest of your life, Dr. Peter Glidden has an alternative solution that doesn't involve drugs with terrible side effects.
One of my favorite add-on products to the 90 essential nutrients for people who are suffering with allergies is a product called Cell Shield RTQ. Cell Shield RTQ. The Q in that product stands for a biochemical called quercetin, and quercetin is a natural antihistamine. It doesn't flag out your immune system like antihistamines do.
To manage your allergies without a lifetime of prescription or over-the-counter drugs, order Youngevity's Cell Shield RTQ today by calling 855-347-3696. That's 855-347-3696 or on the web at fireyourmdnow.com. That's fireyourmdnow.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene, Chris, and Goggs on the Paracast, we have Robert Hastings, author of UFO and Nukes. Let me remind you then that the best place to buy Robert's book is at his site. We do have a link over at theparacast.com, so you go there to buy the book. This way the scalpers do not profit. This way all the money goes to him, and that's the way to do it. In any case, Chris raised a particular point of view about the UFO phenomenon and possible causes. Robert, you want to get into that?
I'm aware of what is called the trickster phenomenon, where there seems to be some sort of deception going on. Has been reported in cultures. For example, I've lived in the Southwest for the last 25 years, and where possible, where it's feasible for me to do it, I engage in discussions with Native Americans of one tribe or another about their views on all of this, and they all have trickster myths about entities doing things that fool humans into thinking one thing or another. I think that's what Chris is alluding to. Some of these Indian tribes, I'll quickly say, are collective wisdom about what we would call UFOs is held as a closely guarded secret, and they do not discuss it with outsiders. And these people I've raised the issue with very politely tell me just that. Other tribes, in particular the Navajo, I've talked to another number of Navajo people who say quite openly, yeah, you know, we know about UFOs, you know, people of my grandfather's generation think they're spiritual beings, but people of my generation, you know, guys in his 30s or whatever, think they're beings from other worlds. And there's really no hard and fast prohibition to having either view within the tribe, is what I've been led to believe. So it's a multifaceted phenomenon, and I've confined myself to the nuts and bolts cases. Where you have radar data, hopefully you have multiple eyewitnesses, you have apparent physical effects, in terms of weapons being shut down when these objects are present. But, you know, I'm aware in my personal reading of the topic and communicating with other human beings is this is a very complex problem. We're not going to get to the bottom of what we call UFOs are anytime soon.
Yeah, Robert Scoggs here. Is your research in nukes and UFOs ongoing? And if not, what other areas do you research regarding UFOs?
It is ongoing. This may or may not be a good thing, but when I get up in the morning, it's on my mind. When I go to bed, it's on my mind. And I think if I'm going to make any meaningful contribution to the collective knowledge base, I need to confine myself to this particular subtopic. I think it's important, obviously, given the recent history of humankind, where we now have weapons that can take us out and destroy the environmental integrity of the planet for a long time. I think this is a very significant aspect to why we have UFO activity to the degree that we do in the last 70 years. So I think that's a large enough plateful right there to deal with for any one person. So I devote my time to that. It is ongoing. I'm 63 now. I'm slowing down. I can't sit at the computer or make calls for 8 hours a day every day like I used to, but I'm still digging into it, and it's endlessly fascinating. You know, when I post press releases, when I'm on CNN or do programs like this one, I invariably get contacted by people who are ex-military. Every now and then I get some jerk who's a liar, and he's quite quickly exposed as a liar, but most of those people are sincere and have something to tell me, and I encourage them to contact me at ufohastings@aol.com, AOL.com, ufohastings@aol.com. Very quickly, if there's a veteran who wants to talk to me, I will say, I'm going to need your DD-214 to verify that you were at the bases you said you were at those time frames when you described your UFO experiences to me. But once we get beyond that, I'm very interested in what you have to say.
Just before Boggs comes in with another comment, are you contacted by people who claim to have military experience but don't?
Rarely, as I said a moment ago. Yeah, there are people who I can tell just right off. I know within 30 seconds whether something's not right in the way they word their emails to me or their present themselves. And when I push quickly, they run away. The bona fide sources pursue contacts with me. They're very understated. As a general rule, if someone calls me and says, I know what the CIA talks to the NSA and the White House about, blah, blah, blah. When someone contacts me and has grandiose claims about having oversight knowledge of the whole UFO government cover-up, quite clearly those people don't know what they're talking about or are making that up. The situation is so compartmentalized that if you're in on part of the secret, that's all you know. You don't know the overall picture. So those people are quite foolish if they think they can mislead me with claims such as those. The people who turn out to be the legitimate sources, the ones that have ended up in my book, are very low-key. They're understated. They don't make claims that they can't prove. They say, this is what I do know. I don't know that. They give very specific details, generally, if not the year of the case, certainly who was involved, what missile sites were involved, and so on. So it's pretty quickly clear to me who is worth pursuing in terms of a potential lead as opposed to who is just somebody trying to pull a fast one on me.
Robert, it's quite timely that you gave your contact details there. The question I was going to ask is, how much of your research is active and how much is passive? As in, how much do you have to go out looking for stuff? And how much does stuff come and find you, because people know what you're into?
I don't know that I could quantify that. It's a little of both. I, for example, had just read something online about sightings in Montana last fall. I was speaking at the University of Montana in October, and so I drove a couple hundred miles up to the areas where the missile sites are and found this log in the sheriff's blotter and subsequently interviewed the witnesses. So, you know, I took an active hand because the opportunity presented itself. I don't have the financial wherewithal to fly all over the country pursuing one leader or another, but if an opportunity like that presents itself, I'll certainly pursue it. But again, as I mentioned earlier, in that case from last fall up in Montana, my witnesses are civilian personnel, civilians living in the area of Roy, Montana. I don't have military personnel coming forward yet, and I don't encourage active duty Air Force personnel to approach me because my emails are monitored, my phone's tapped, there's no question. I mean, if the guys in Washington have any brains, they've kept a good eye on me for the last 30 years. There have been some funny monkey business on the telephone I could tell you about if there's time. But so I don't encourage active duty people to approach me. I'm very curious to know what happened up there at Oscar Flight in September and October of 2012. But it could be decades before any of those guys come forward, and I'll be long gone. So
how do you think here people react with regard to the story that, and we mentioned at the beginning of our show, that the government went after the AP for alleged leaks that might relate to some kind of military whistleblower?
I'm aware of the story. I just saw it on CNN earlier today. I don't know what to say. And it's nothing is black or white. I think there are legitimate cases where any given administration has to know. For example, a terrorist-related leak, I don't have a problem with them nosing into that. On the other hand, the Constitution does guarantee privacy, and so the people that argue, such as myself, who've had problems with telephone issues and email issues, quite clearly, someone monitoring my activities, you know, constitutionally there's a question whether anyone should have the right to do that. So it's pushed back and forth, you know, it's give and take, and it's not cut and dried by any means.
Robert, tell our listeners where they can get more information about what you do.
My website is ufohastings.com. On the homepage, there is this CNN streaming of my press conference. You'll see 7 Air Force veterans talking about UFOs, monitoring, and even tampering with nuclear weapons. If you go to my documents page, you'll find a number of documents corroborating UFO activity at nuclear weapons sites since the 1940s. Onward, and if you go to my book page, you can order my book directly from my site without having to pay exorbitant rates at Amazon when scalpers try to resell it.
Okay, you can find us at theparacast.com. On Twitter, we are The Paracast, and we have a Paracast fan club over at Facebook. Chris' site is OurStrangePlanet.com. So we've had Gogs Mackay as our guest panelists with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien. Robert Hastings, thanks for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems
system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.